Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With Clint Sterner and Wade Smith, I'm Jeremy Branham. So the Texans made a trade moments ago, sending a third-round pick in 2020. Could be the Seattle 2020 pick. We still haven't seen which pick it's going to be. The Texans own the Seahawks 2020 third-rounder in the Jadeveon Clowney trade, so that's something to consider. If it is that pick, we know all of the parts the Houston Texans got for Jadeveon Clowney. But as we get to know Garyon Clowney, or Conley, I should say, spent his college career at Ohio State, was a first-round pick. So you know he's a talented guy. Back in 2017, was the number 24 pick of the 2017 draft. And he hasn't been what you would say a bust. He only played in two games in 2017 because of injury. But last year he started 14 games, played in 15, had three picks, one of those for a touchdown. And this season he started every single game for the Raiders. So the Texans at the very least are getting somebody that has played a lot this season and last season and is still very young and a former number one pick.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest knock on him is at this point in his pro career is probably inconsistent. I mean, he comes in and he's got a lot of hype to live up to, being a first-round corner. And you go in there and you're living in a new place. You go from Ohio State to Oakland. There's a lot of dysfunction in the Oakland organization. So there's a lot of against players out there, and the kid's been a little bit inconsistent. Looks like he's coming off of a rough outing versus Green Bay, but there were moments in the past where for an extended period of time, 6, 7, 8 games at a time, he's played at a big time level. And so it's clearly not a skill problem, Wade. I mean, this is a kid that maybe a little inconsistent, but at the very least is a significant upgrade to what's available for the Texans right now to put on the field and play man coverage and do some things. Just from a skill set standpoint, it's an upgrade.
Yeah, this trade tells me two things. First of all, there was people on Twitter yesterday that were tweeting me saying that the Texans need to trade for Chris Harris Jr. And I thought that would be a great trade, you know, a trade for Harris coming out of Denver. But they were saying, you know, I thought that Chris Harris Jr. would cost too much. I don't think that the Texans had the draft capital to get him. Apparently, there were rumors going around that Harris was available for a fourth-round pick. Now, this trade proves to me that wasn't the case, because if that was the case, they would have traded for Chris Harris for a fourth-round pick or a third. But that's one thing it tells me. The second thing it tells me is that, you know, about Connolly is he just was on a roster yesterday playing against Aaron Rodgers. Now, it's very rare, and then we have to go back and do some research on this, for someone to get traded and as a consistent player or a starter on one defense to get traded to another. Like, DBs don't grow on trees. So apparently there was not a fit out there with Oakland. You got to hope that it's a fit here with the Texans and that, you know, he can get coached up. But the talent, you know, is there. If he's a Ohio State cornerback, there's drafting in the first round, you know the guy has physical skills. Just how is he going to acclimate himself to this roster? And then also, you got to look at it, the Texans had to make a move. There's no doubt about it that they had to make a move. This guy's young. This guy was available. And so Bill O'Brien made the deal.
You make the biggest point there, who's available. I love these conversations when people start going, what the hell are they doing making that? Well, there's only so many guys available. I mean, right. Every conversation that we have here is about guys available. I mean, look, if Patrick Peterson was available, trade the house for him. Go get him. I don't know that he's available. So this tells me that this guy was available. He was attainable right now. They couldn't wait another week and have contract or have trade discussions. It had to be done right this second. And what you do know is that the young fella's extremely talented. Wait, JB, think about this when everybody gets healthy. Now all of a sudden your DBs look like Bradley Roby, right? J-Jo, Lonnie Johnson Jr., and then a former 2017 first-round draft pick that you hope can blossom and just become average. You don't even have to be great. Just become average, and you help this team significantly moving forward. Now, how quick those other guys get healthy, we don't know. But, boy, this is not just great for the moment. and to get these guys to the bye week. But long term, this is a really good get for the Texans in building that DB room.
See, I was going to take it where you were just talking about Clint Smitty and JB talking about the Texans trading for Gary and Conley. This just going down moments ago. 2020 third round pick for a former first rounder. Play with the Raiders. The Texans are going to actually be playing the Raiders on Sunday, which is an interesting wrinkle about it too. But the long term roster building aspect of this. Look, Jonathan Joseph's not going to play forever, so you know that it's going to, you're going to be down a corner in another year or two. This is a former first-rounder that you got for a third, so already you're getting a better talent than that pick is probably worth. You have a 24-year-old that you're guaranteed to have for the next 2 years on their rookie deal, pretty affordable rate. And then, oh yeah, you would also get the fifth-year option if he pans out in 2021. So this, to me, is very low risk and high reward.
Wait, I think you hit something in the break, too. I think it's important that people, because he is coming off of, or the Raiders are. I haven't watched the Raiders Green Bay film, so I don't know exactly who got shot and who got, but I know this. I know a bunch of the Raiders did, and so I mean, here's the deal though, Wade, is I think it's important as fans when trades like this go down, keep, and I'm not saying that have your opinion of it, but it's important to understand the dysfunction that Oakland was. It's important to understand that there are a large percentage of guys, offensive linemen, quarterbacks, receivers, DBs, that are in systems that they just don't fit. This defensive back coach may force the DBs in man coverage to press. Well, if he's a cushion guy, which I know it's a trigger word for Houston right now, but if he's a cushion guy, then damn it, play cushion.
Right.
And I'm not saying that was the case. I'm not saying this guy's going to be great, but I'm saying there are a lot of situations out there, Wade, where players are really good players are just not good fits with systems, with organizations, and with specific position coaches as well.
And you always have to remember this as well. Reggie McKenzie was the guy that drafted him. Reggie McKenzie is no longer there. It is a Gruden show. It's a Mayock show. Yep. So he's not one of their guys. And so they may have, like you said, a completely different philosophy of what they want out of that cornerback position. And so they figure out, oh, we got an opportunity that, you know, the Texans need a DB. We got a guy that's young and talented. Let's go ahead and trade him because he's not one of our guys anyway. So when you look at it from that perspective, you could say, you know what, the Texans could be stealing. Like JB mentioned, this could be something that you look at down the road and you say, well, you got this guy for basically you're stealing. It's a low risk and it's a high reward potential with making this deal. I just think that, you know, if he can come into this DB room and get acclimated quickly, because he's going to have to play this week. Now, fortunately for him, he's playing against a team that he knows everything about. He's been practicing against these guys and with these guys for the past 3 years. So that's going to help. And I think they're going to utilize that, but he's going to have to get acclimated quickly to what the Texans want to do in order for him to go out there and perform at a level that's good enough for them to win ball games.
Yeah, and a couple of notes from last year. I can't get back to the article in my research here that I was doing, but a couple of notes were that in his stint when he was playing really well, he held Tyreek Hill to one catch for 13 yards, and then he had a really, really, really good game against Antonio Brown, I guess, before he went off the deep end with Pittsburgh. So this is a guy, again, when Bradley Roby came in here, it was like, well, he played well against Tyreek Hill. You know, he's had good 7-8 game stretches, but consistency is a problem. Hey, look, man. You've seen guys come here on one-year prove-it deals and somehow get right, and unfortunately, a couple of them have left and signed big deals, and they haven't stayed. But if that change of scenery gets you a first-round DB to get anywhere back close to what he's capable of doing, Wade, that's big, man.
Hey, no question about it, and this is another thing people need to keep in mind. When somebody says, oh, he got torched by Aaron Rodgers, you didn't tell me anything. There's a lot of people that get torched by Aaron Rodgers, so you ain't really said nothing to me by that statement. I would like to see this guy come in here and give him an opportunity before you judge him too quickly, especially not coming off of a bad performance against A-Rod.
Clint Sterner, Wade Smith, Jeremy Branham. Texans fall yesterday 30-23. Clock management again was an area of concern. Ironically, I thought the Texans' clock management was great in the first half whenever they drove down the field, got the late field goal. I think execution was the reason to blame for not getting a touchdown there as opposed to, you know, not having enough time on the clock. But then we saw late in the game yesterday, the Texans had an opportunity to score late. They had an opportunity to take a timeout ahead of the two-minute warning. They had the whole punt gate, if you want to call it that, where they didn't really seem to know how to handle all of that. Bill O'Brien took a timeout, 2:41 left, down by 5, 9 seconds on the play clock from the 5-yard line. Here's how it sounded from Mark Vandermeer.
And here we go. Anger in the back of the end zone. John Weeks will snap. Chester Rogers back deep. Anger awaits the snap. And Anger, he's going to take a safety.
So before that, O'Brien took the timeout with 9 seconds left on the play clock. And to me, it was a situation that it didn't seem like the Texans knew the play they wanted to run until there was 9 seconds left on the play clock. And then they took a timeout when maybe they could have just let the play clock expire.
Yeah, look, it's we can go minute by minute, which everybody does in radio, go minute by minute and chalk this thing up to how many specific seconds were lost. And here's the gist of it. It was grossly mismanaged again. And it's one of those things that, for me, this was a situation that should be practiced with the other, let's say, 10 situations. Wade, I spent some time with Bill Parcells in training camp for about 3 months, man, through the offseason in training camp. And he was the most prepared relative to situational football. And it was, hey, guys, there's 13 seconds on the clock. We got time for two plays. You got to get in field goal range. Here are the two specific plays that you're going to run. And everybody knew it by memory. Didn't need when the situation came up in a game, you didn't need to talk about it. It's what they did, right? This is one of those. You're down a certain number. There's X number of time. You're backed up. We're going to take a safety. It's you should have practiced it 15 times leading up to this football game, and it should have been executed more cleanly.
Yeah, no question about it. I wish they would have gotten it right off top and just called take a safety as soon as Deshaun Watson got sacked, and then you would have saved a bunch of clock off of time off of the clock. But then you compound it by calling a timeout in order to get the correct call made. And we'll talk about it later on. We're going to have to get up against it right now. But there was more issues in that last 2 minutes of the ball game that I just don't understand the thought process behind what's going on over there sometimes.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.